All the things that they make you say. I'll pick you up and it'll be alright. I'll pick you up and it'll be tonight.
So, as you no doubt noticed if you're listening to this show, then you are likely aware of my new show. I started doing another podcast called XO, and I am very pleased with how it's going. Basically, it's like ham radio is a weird thing. It's sort of idiosyncratic. I never bothered trying to like put this thing on iTunes or really push it, because anyone that would be interested already knows where to find me, you know? Like, this is basically, for anyone who knows me from Keith and the Girl, ham radio is like the continuing adventures of Keith McNally. And beyond that, you know, who knows? It's not something I would necessarily, like, recommend. Because I think it's very entertaining, but to the average layman, you know. So I feel like this XO thing, which is I guess This American Life would be the famous example, but what I really patterned it off is Robert Ashley's show, A Life Well Wasted, which I highly recommend everyone go check out, alifewellwasted.com. But it really seemed like I tend to start projects a lot and then they fizzle out. They just kind of, they go for a ways and then I, you know, move on to other stuff or I just lose interest. Maybe that's going to happen again with XO, but I feel like there's a good chance this, I feel like I'm onto something, is what I'm trying to say. This seems like something that could have some definite, like, lasting value and that I could see trying to push on people or, like, try to promote. Try to spread the word, because I really think a more general audience could get into it. And ham radio has been mutating for some time. Like, there are a couple of recent ham radios that probably could have been XO episodes. The one where I'm walking around talking about Vancouver while I play Gym Class Hero songs. Or I could have done a modified version of that Elliott Smith show. You know, maybe I still will cannibalize my own past and do those sometime. But the basic XO thing is just talking with music underneath. Interspersed, intertwined. Where there are a lot of ham radio episodes where more and more it just became about me talking about stuff. And not so much about whatever song I was playing. And I always felt like that was a little bit of a weird fit. Or like those shows where it would just be me and Ian talking, say. That could be an XO episode, or could have been. So then I started thinking, 100 episodes, maybe ham radio has run its course also. Maybe I've finally moved on to something else, but I don't think so, because today it's like 10 in the morning, and I'm heading down the street to get a coffee at Tim Hortons and a bagel or something. But as soon as I opened the door, I saw all the leaves turning colors, you know, it's becoming fall. Something just struck me, just the cool air, the crisp fall air, the fucking leaves. It's just like, this is a ham radio day. This is a day where I gotta throw some fucking music on my MP3 player and do another show. So I think this, ham radio is nice because it's easy. It's easy to do. And it's not a lot of work. It just kind of comes naturally. You know, it's just like the trail that I leave behind as I'm walking around talking to myself. And that was always one of the big things I liked about doing it. And that's why there's 100 episodes of this thing, because it's not that tough to do. But also, now that I have this outlet for fancy pants talk in XO, I think this can help reassert what ham radio was always about originally, which is about fucking songs that I like and blabbing about them. So maybe this is going to be a return to form. Maybe people like my rambling more, but, you know, it's going to still be around, just in a more focused fashion. Maybe there'll be no real difference at all. You know? We'll see. Anyway, I tossed some music on my MP3 player, so let's see what I got as I walk to Tim Hortons, get myself some motherfucking coffee and breakfast. Oh shit, I know what I'll play first. I've also got my little music video show, Here's Some Fucking Videos, that I feel like that one is, that's a good example of a project running out of steam. Like, when I was drawing comic strips, I did the 200 shitty comics, and I managed to squeeze out about 250 of them, but I just ran out of steam. I'm up to like episode 17 of Here's Some Fucking Videos, and I got at least a couple more in me. Well, again, who knows, maybe I'll just keep doing them, but maybe it was just, you know, a little experiment to try out. But in a recent one, I played a Wu-Tang Clan video for Gravel Pit, and it got me interested in the Wu-Tang Clan, because, I mean, I realized I really don't know anything about them. I'm not that into rap music in general. But I went and dug up the 36 Chambers, the very first Wu-Tang album from, like, 1993. And it's weird to think that, like, back then, that's when I was really getting into music for the first time, and that's when Stone Temple Pilots and Smashing Pumpkins and fucking Pearl Jam, Nirvana, all that stuff was going on. And it's just weird that there's always this tug-of-war between hard rock music and pop music. And that's when the pop music pendulum was swinging hard back toward rock music. But in the background, and you can chart that, I was going to say, like every 12 years or so, there's a guy named Alan Cross, does a show called The Ongoing History of New Music. He did a whole show about that, how you can pretty much chart the back and forth pendulum swing of rock and pop every 12 years or so, right up until the internet came and shook everything up. And now it's all just a jumble. But at the same time, there's like rap music is like this independent thread running along in the background that has its own evolution and changes that are pretty much independent of everything else. And I just think that's interesting. You know, it's like, I just can't get all the way into rap music. I just can't. I never will. But I kind of like it. But it's weird to think, like, 93, this was the shit. These guys, everyone listening to the Wu-Tang Clan, like, this was a huge thing. But it was so different from what I was into. It seems like impossible to imagine myself at that time buying these albums and really getting into them. Anyway, what I noticed listening through it is that it's the guys who have a more unique delivery that stand out to me. So in that first album, it was definitely Old Dirty Bastard and the Method Man. I really like the way the Method Man raps. I read somewhere that what makes him sound so weird is that he incorporates the, you know, his intake when he's rapping, when he's laying down a flow. I don't know your jiggy terms. Anyway, the guy just sounds cool. So this is his solo song from that first Wu-Tang Clan album called Method Man. From the slums of Shaolin, Wu-Tang Clan strikes again. The RZA, the Jizza, Old Dirty Bastard, Inspector Deck, Ray Porn, the Chef, You Guard, Ghostface Killer, and man. The Method. M-E-T-H-O-D, man, M-E-T-H-O-D, man, M-E-T-H-O-D, man, M-E-T-H-O-D, man. Hey, you, get off my cloud. You don't know me and you don't know my style. Who'll be getting down when they come to a damn? Here I am, here I am. The Method Man, patty cake, hey, the Method Man. No need skip, beat, jip, or beat the pan. Peanut butter, cause I'm not butter. In fact, I snap back like a rubber band. I be Sam, Sam I am, and I don't eat green eggs and ham. Down the hitch, when they got there, you'll be like, oh shit, that's the jam. Turn it up, now hear me get up, wild, I'm about to blow, light me up. Upside down, side, inside and outside, hitting you from every angle. What's the commotion? Oh my lord, another corn chop by the Wu-Tang sword. Hey, 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 like that. If the Method Man ain't a whoopin' about it, it's the Method, right, y'all. Get your White House, get your meth, get your skins, don't forget your Audi, and we gon' do it like this. I got fat bags of skunk, I got White House guns, and I'm about to go get lifted. Yes, I'm about to go get lifted. All right, let's whip this way around something, and now for something completely different. This is a song called The Atheist's Anthem by some punk band called Leftover Crack that I only really know this one song. I think I had one of their albums and I didn't really listen to it much, but this was on one of Tim Armstrong's compilations, Give Him the Boot. Give Him the Boot 3, maybe? 2, 3, 4, I don't know. It was a really good one anyway. Tons of good songs were on that one. And I used to have a real hate on for religion when I was like a teenager. Just fucking couldn't stand the whole idea of it. And it seems like I've mellowed quite a bit as I grow older. So, I don't know, I'm kind of surprised, I guess, when I get reminders that I still fucking hate that shit like crazy. I was listening to Keith and the Girl the other day, and this when Mike Kaplan was on. Keith and Hemda had a little bit of a back and forth going about Scientology. Would they hire someone to work for them who was a Scientologist? Keith was saying, hell no, those people are fucking insane. And Hemda was saying, basically, they're no more insane than any other religious person, and it's not a reasonable reason to discriminate against hiring someone. And I think it is. I think it's an entirely reasonable reason. I think fuck them. I think fuck all those fucks. I think fuck every religious person. Fuck you to death. Especially Scientology. Like, I just find it so crazy that these old religions, you know, they've been around forever. They're not going anywhere. I think when I kind of chilled out was when it really did sink into me that it's never going to go away. We're going to be seeding, you know, hundreds of planets, and the human race could be spread all over. We could be incredibly technologically advanced. People are still going to believe in God. People are still going to be religious. It's never going to go away. So you just kind of got to accept it. But when some new fucking punk-ass religion shows up, some Scientology shit, fuck that. Like, if 2,000 years from now, Scientology is gone, we'll all be better off. If it's still around, if it's the next Judaism or the next Christianity, then fuck, you know? Fuck us. I say fuck that shit. I say persecute all religious people at all times in any way you possibly can. I got a couple religious friends. I don't know what to say about that. I just don't talk to them about it. It's fucking insane and it's stupid. And fuck you personally if you're religious. Fuck you. I really think if, like, I was drafted into a war, you know, into the army, and I had to go fight, but if it was just to clear out religious people, like, hey, it's us versus them, you shoot every religious fuck you see in the fucking skull, explode their heads, I'd feel a lot less bad about it. I got a pathological hate for you, religion. Your little religious fucking waterhead morons wandering around being stupid. Making the human race seem ridiculous. Holding back the world. Fuck you. Atheist Anthem.
Yeah.
So a lot of that is lack of coffee and hunger talking. I walked past the first Tim Hortons and I decided to walk straight on to the second one because it wasn't taking long enough, you know. I mean, I got there too soon. Fuck up my show. Which is not to say that I'm exactly any more tolerant of religious people, but I can explain that I think what helped chill me out so that I stopped, besides utter surrender and defeat, that I stopped trying to pretend this was some kind of important fucking thing that actually matters in my life, is I have come to understand, I guess it's that the term spirituality, I think, can be divorced from religion, which I never used to think it could, but there's a lot of just a sense of connectedness to the world, a sense of being present in your life instead of being an observer. The notion of a benevolent world, a benevolent universe, which I guess people equate with God, which is insane, because then whatever they equate with God is always just ludicrously, I don't know, maybe it's just people had bad parents and now they want a bad God to take over as surrogate parent. Like, it's just such crazy bullshit. You scratch the surface of these religions and it's just insane. It's insane what these people believe. It's insane the kind of structure they want in their life. It's very uncool and very unhealthy. But there's some crossover. I mean, in particular, I knew this guy Vince in Vancouver who was very religious. Went to church every week. Had a girlfriend who he didn't sleep with because they weren't married yet. Crazy shit like that. But he was a really good dude. I liked him a lot. And he was one of the few other people I knew who... It's not like it's a normal conversation topic, but these notions of just being a good person, doing the right thing, I do think that stuff's important. Cowboy shit, you know? You roll into town, you try to make things better, you don't try to fuck things up. Doesn't always work, but at least I think it's valuable, whether I pull it off or not. And he also thought that way. He definitely thought it was important to be a good person, and that's what was worthwhile in life, that was the stronger option. But the big difference was he did it because he thought he had to. You know, or that was at least his reasoning that he explained to me, is like, you gotta be good to go to heaven. Why else would you do it? Whereas I think you should do it so you're not a fucking piece of shit, you know? Because that's just the goddamn right thing to do. For some reason, that's a good enough explanation to me. I don't know, religion. Bah. Gah. You know, I mean, if you are religious, we can get along, but I don't agree with your stupid shit. I think you're fucking ridiculous. You need a little cool blue reason in your life.
Cool blue reason empties on the page. Your colleagues are in prison and your enemies enraged. Cool blue reason comes into your world. There's two more dead in Texas and it's probably your girls. Cool blue reason wraps around. Minutes change like seasons, only 8 more hours to go, only 8 more hours to go, only 8 more hours left to go. Cool blue reason comes into your life. There's one more dead in Kansas, and it's probably your wife. Cool blue reason, I'm just talking to myself. Cool blue reason, I'm just rearranging hell. I'm just talking to myself, I'm just talking to myself. Thank you.
This is where it's like the lines start to blur, where now I'm thinking, like, maybe this could be an XO episode, you know, angry ranting about religion set to music. That could work. But I'll do a separate show about religion later. So that's the whole thing, is the XOs will be slower to come because a lot more planning and a lot more setup, a lot more post-production. So let's just listen to a flat-out happy song. This is the old one-up show theme song. Don't want to go to work today, just want to stay home and play my video games. I'll listen to this as I walk into the Tim Hortons and drink a coffee. These together. Drinking a coffee while this song's in my ears, man, that's an infusion. Just good stuff. There's a place down here I always walk past called Jim's Signs, and it's got an apostrophe S on both words. Signs is S-I-G-N apostrophe S, and it's like, come on, Jim. And I noticed it years ago and it's still there. It's like, I guess I realize you don't want to spend the money to make new signs for your business, but you are a sign business, and it just doesn't give me a lot of faith that you're gonna make the fucking sign the right way, you know, Jim. You know who else I'm not a big fucking fan of, who I saw coming out of the Tim Hortons? People smoking. You fucking morons. How the fuck did you start that shit? You fucking idiots. Fuck you. Stupid, stupid fucks. I'm also not a big fan of fucking drug addicts and alcoholics, frankly. Seems like all this stuff could have been avoided pretty fucking easy. Alright, let me have some of this coffee. Oh. Oh, fuck, that's good. Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry, everybody. I take it back. You're alright. Ah, Jesus. Mah. There's an XO episode I'm gonna have to do. Motherfucking coffee. That shit is magical. Whoa. Here's an old Finger 11 song called Quicksand, live acoustic version.
Okay, this is Quicksand. Slow sinking feeling kills the mood you're conveying, and it pulls me far down below. It might be best if you go. Can it not wait and hope for the best? Will it not stop a while to rest? I need to get up. Yeah, I need to get up. Never mind, cause I've done enough. Cause the world waits around, but I keep slipping and losing ground. Do I not try so hard, so good? I can't keep changing,
just because you think I should. You think I should. Said all I need to, and you don't understand still. Wish you saw, picture my mind's eyes are deep and they're cynical. One taken for more kills the pain, healing that sore. And I have taken what's left, I took it all, and now you won't let me forget, forget, forget. Now that the world waits around, but I keep slipping and losing ground. Do I not try so hard, so good? I can't keep changing just because you think I should. Stop your talking down. I'm lacking strength to sit or stand. I lost my self-confidence in the quicksand. In the quicksand. In the quicksand. Yeah, in the quicksand. Hey. Yeah. Not now or ever. Sink slowly my treasure. Not now. Slowly my treasure, cause the world waits around, but I keep slipping and losing ground. Do I not try so hard, so good? I can't keep changing just because you think I should. You think I should. You think I should. You think I should.
Yeah. I just walked down to the edge of the river, so I'm sitting on a tree that fell over with a nice little grove of woods all around me. I really like that about this town. This is Fredericton, New Brunswick, where I grew up. It's not totally secluded. I just spied somebody walking down the path that runs behind here, but it's pretty much, you know, pretty much all on my own here. There's like nobody around. And I noticed this exact same thing down by my house, which is about a mile further down the river. Same thing, you can go down by the river, find a little wooded area. There's even a tree like this that fell over, like a natural bench. And it's just nice. It's nice to be able to get away from people and noise and traffic and everything so easily. This is actually a little nicer here. This is nearer to Nashwauksis. You can see a Mr. Freezy wrapper and an old Tim Hortons cup, but that's it. Down by my house, there is a lot more kind of just miscellaneous debris, beer bottles and stuff, and a fire pit. Because it's, my neighborhood's called Devon. It's kind of a shit neighborhood, and it's right by the Indian Reserve, which, you know, what can I tell you? The Indians have a lot of problems. They just do. I got nothing against Indians, but Indian Reserve and social responsibility, those don't mesh very well. It's just how it is. I'm sorry. It's not my fault. Indians. Jesus. But yeah, being here, this reminds me of, there's this little anemic park near Williamsburg, Brooklyn, by the big bridge. Sort of near that Polish neighborhood where they have the really good donut shop. I suppose it's like Greenpoint, I think, is around there. That's where Matt Bray used to live. I visited him out there couple times. Even though I was there for over a year, my mental geography, my map of New York, it's pretty rough. But anyway, this place sucked. It was this sucky little park. There was even in Flight of the Conchords in one episode, just because it's the park. It's a park, you know. But I remember I was there with Ian, and she's like, see, isn't this nice little park and some water and stuff? But it's just, it was not good, you know? It's just, I guess if it's all you got, but... I did like New York in the winter quite a bit, though. That's one thing I'm worried about here, is that I know it's not going to be long before it's just going to be too cold out for me to do this. There will be no sitting by the fucking river. It's going to be a frozen nightmare wasteland here before too long. And New York winters, I guess I was there for some pretty mild ones, but it really was the best winters I ever had. I mean, Vancouver doesn't have snow, but it's very dark and rainy and kind of miserable. New York was really nice in the winter, and I remember in my apartment in Queens, this one day in particular, there were a couple of nice snowfalls, but this one day in particular, right after the snow fell, was just beautiful. It looked so amazing. I should have tried to make my way into Manhattan to see if it survived, but I'm sure they instantly fucked it all up and garbaged it up. But out in Queens, it covered up all the filth. You know, you couldn't see it. It seemed like such a nice place. Let's listen to a Supertramp song. This is Breakfast in America. It's that Gym Class Heroes song, Cupid's Arrow, was their first sort of hit. It swipes from this song. Kind of a nice little tune.
Take a look at my girlfriend. She's the only one I got. Not much of a girlfriend, but never seem to get along. Take a jumbo across the water, like to see America. See the girls in California. I'm hoping it's going to come true, but there's not a lot I can do.
I was thinking I would end with that Supertramp song because it's just kind of a nice little ending, but I was walking along the riverbank, kind of trying not to step in anything too wet, you know, maneuver through this marshy sort of land and over these rocks and shit. Just listening to whatever else was on my MP3 player. And there's this Rancid song that I don't even remember the name of it. Hold on, let me check. Called Golden Gate Fields. See my old MP3 player? I used to really like it. I got it in New York for like $15, $20. And it finally broke. But at the thrift store down the street from my place, I got a new one for $15 Canadian. I just think that's amazing. This is like some Star Trek crazy ass technology. And for $15, I can just go get one. 2 gig MP3 player. This one's got a little screen, is the point. The old one didn't. I love that shit. It's just amazing to me. I always wonder, like, when I talk to my friend Brad, he has a very pessimistic view of where things are going. And it stretches back pretty far, too. And I don't know, I don't get it. I guess it's self-evident to him, but man, stuff like that, to me, it's just amazing. They got iPhones. You have to be crazy to pay for one, but if you don't want to, look at this. Look at this other stuff you can get. It's like, it's fucking fantastic. Anyway, maybe it's the whiplash effect of being pointlessly angry and annoyed, and then I get the coffee in me and I feel good, but this Rancid song really kind of choked me up a little bit. I mean, it starts off as a very standard punk song, and then it shifts into this little, like, mini biography about one of Tim Armstrong's old friends from when he was a kid, and I don't know, it's just neat. One of those little universal experiences makes you think about people you used to know when you were a kid and where are they now and what's going on with them, and it's just nice. It's a nice little tune. This is not George O'Dan, this is not Hollywood Bar. When the field's wide open, I think the horse has got the biggest heart. Yeah! Let them roll, let them ride, let them go down them tracks. Let all win, bless and troll, let them wonder exact six for all. Four fillers and three males, three years of luck. And who messes up? Well, I wish you luck. And who messes up? Well, I wish you luck. And this is not George O'Dea, this is not Hollywood Park. No. When the field's wide open, up in the horse's got the biggest heart. Yeah, well, they rush their windows and play the hard on fair. But the start of the second two scores and a bit of take. And the race is a puzzle when they're pooping inside. And it's a hit in their nose, man. They look back, and you can't count on that. And it's a fact, and they're pulling close and real. They're tired of the pricks, and they're trying to buy all the wins. The freaky guy. This is not George O'Dell, this is not Hollywood Park. When the field's wide open, off the horse has got the biggest heart. Every time I go back to the East Bay, I run into Big L. But my old friend Big L, Lord, he's not doing so well. See, me and Big L grew up across the freeway from the track. Yes, we spent many days on the track. I see Big L come rolling off the street. On his little sister's pink dance beat. He said, Tim, Tim, do you remember me? Way back in 1973. Every time I see him, he has to remind me. Like I would ever forget Big L. Gone like a flash. Then he's gone like a flash. Yeah, like a flash. This is Rancid signing off for now. Until next time, we'll see you guys later.